podcast from the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's Office of National Mission. This is God's Mission Here.
Thanks so much for joining us. I'm your host, Deaconess Tiffany Manor. Today, we're going to be talking, as we usually do on this podcast, about God's mission. And we'll be talking about God's mission in some places that are in communities just like yours. Today, I'm joined by one of my colleagues, Stephanie Neugebauer. And Stephanie will be co-host on this season. We'll be talking together with a variety of hosts. So, Steph, why don't you introduce yourself for the listeners and tell them about you, your family, anything you'd like folks to know.
Thank you. I am a pastor's wife to Kirk Neugebauer, and we live in Northeast Arkansas with our three kids. I also work for the Office of National Mission under you, Tiffany, as resource manager for ONM Mercy, Office of National Mission Mercy. And as part of our Mercy efforts, we, of course, have worker wellness and our care for our workers. And so it's really a joy to be able to work on an effort like worker wellness as a pastor's wife because, well, I care about our workers for, I think, an extra reason than some may, and that is because I'm married to one. So it would be my prerogative to help make sure that pastors, deaconesses, DCEs, director of family life ministry, that all of the church workers that we have in the LCMS feel like they're cared for, feel that they're supported, and can be encouraged by both their church at large, which is us in our synod building, but also by their congregations that are in their midst, that are in their own communities. So I guess that's also a shameless plug for the work that we do, not just me professionally, but in LCMS worker wellness.
Oh, not a shameless plug at all, because that's we're going to spend a lot of time unpacking over the next few episodes of God's Mission Here. We always like to start every episode with the basics about what God's mission is. And I love that because it seems like all of the guests we have on have different nuances that they like to pull out. And it's always a good refresher and a reminder. And so we talk about things like, you know, what is God's mission? Who gets to be involved? And the way I like to describe it, and maybe Steph, you want to add how you like to describe it, but really that it's, you know, God puts us purposefully in very specific places that are unique, you know, very unique towns and communities all across this world. And we don't have to go someplace far away to take up his work. I mean, that's really what God's mission is. It's the work that he gives us to do in the specific places he puts us. And that's not just for the church workers. It's for every Christian to proclaim God's work and his mercies, to share Christ with their neighbor. So that's how I tend to describe God's mission to people. What about you, Steph? How do you describe God's mission?
I like to describe God's mission in terms of an image. I think that I'm a very visual learner. And so when I talk about things or to remember things, I usually have a picture in my head. And the thing that I think of, and maybe I'm going to date myself in like 10 years. Anyone who's listening 10 years from recording is going to be like, that doesn't exist anymore. But you know how you have on your phone, usually most people do, Google Maps or an Apple Maps or whatever kind of GPS application you have on your phone. And usually where you are on your map is a little pin. And so I think of myself or anyone, but God's mission is that pin. God's mission is where I am on the map. And you can look around you as you would a compass, forward, behind, to your right, or to your left. And that's where God's mission is. So it's simply around where you're located. But the great thing is that in baptism, we are given the name of the triune God. And so we're not really at the center when it all boils down to it. It's actually God's word and his truth that's living in us and active in us that's at the center. And so it's wherever we are because we bear his name, well, that's where we're called to serve. And we're called to spread that message and that mercy to our right, to our left, to our front, to our back. And so really, God's mission is actually right where you are.
Oh, you said that so eloquently, and you're absolutely right. I love that connection to God baptized us. He baptized us for this very thing, for this very work that he gives us. And that's all throughout Scripture, but certainly we see it in the book of Ephesians, like the work that God prepared for us in advance to do. And how does he prepare us? By baptizing us.
Yeah. So yeah. Can I ask you, if you can pull yourself out of your position now and put yourself back 20 years ago when you were a pastor's wife like me, how would you have described God's mission when you were in congregational or parish life ministry. And absolutely what we're doing in our vocations is God's mission and it is church work. But how would you have described it as a pastor's wife, you know, 20 years ago?
Oh yeah, 20 years ago, I was a very new pastor's wife. My husband would have just been ordained a few months. And I oh gosh, that was such a great congregation. And the congregation itself, our church building, which is not the church, it's the building. The church itself is God's people gathered together around his word. That congregation built a building inside a neighborhood. It wasn't located on a busy street somewhere. And while I might not have been as eloquent as you, Steph, I would have described, you know, the people right around, you know, like we were describing with the map, like, you know, as we drove around looking to buy a house in the neighborhood at that church, this is God's mission. I remember having a sense of that. Like, these are the people we're here to serve. The people in our church and school, there was a school there too, that, you know, the all souls here. My husband's the pastor to the congregation, to the children in the school, their families. He's called to serve them. And our family, as we accompanied him by moving there, we're their brothers and sisters in Christ, you know, the kids, you know, but me specifically, I'm a sister in Christ to these people in the congregation. And we're here to serve in this mission outpost to all these houses I'm driving past, all of these people. And so as I got to know my neighbors there, so I was raising my children, right? There, God's mission for me was raising my children in the faith. But that's really how I saw the work that he'd given me to do, those people right around there. And those are good memories. And we moved on to other places, and God's mission was there for us in those other places as my husband accepted different calls as a pastor.
I have a tip that I just learned. So it's not like I'm some wise old owl here just ready to spew a bunch of wisdom on my own. This is on the you know, shoulders of giants who have done research about how to build community, how to actually parent your kids into community. And I read something recently. It was in my inbox just as a newsletter article about, well, how do you help your kids build a sense of community? And as I read it, I was thinking, how do I help my kids build a sense of who their mission field is, who they're called to serve? And one of the tips was to become a regular somewhere, and ideally multiple places, so that you can actually learn people's names and so that they can learn your names. And they'll say, oh, here's the cute little Neugebauer family coming through the little Walmart checkout to, you know, get their groceries, or here they are getting their donuts this week, or whatever it may be. I have already seen that actually bear fruit in our lives and the lives of our community is being intentional about being regular somewhere. And I don't know if this fits in exactly to work or wellness, but I just thought, you know, as we think about what God's mission is, we do have to be intentional about where we place ourselves. So I think that's a great little tidbit to think about mission work.
Oh, I love that. I love that. That's really wise advice. Yeah, that's a good one. Well, let's narrow in on God's mission and talk about worker wellness. Now, Steph, you've described that you and I both work in a variety of the mercy efforts of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, certainly life ministry, health ministry, family discipleship and family ministry, but worker wellness as well. And we're really talking about worker wellness through this podcast season. So let's talk about what we mean by worker wellness and how it's a mission of Christ Church. For me, Paul's letter, epistle to the church in Galatia, really describes this very well. Paul starts off reminding the Galatians how, well, he doesn't start the book here, but he describes his relationship with the Galatians, reminding them of how when he came to them, he was not so healthy. He had some struggles. And, you know, we can refer back to the book of Acts to see he had some challenges. And so he was actually, you know, in ill health, and they helped him to recover. So here was the body of believers, the congregation there, the church there in that place, helping a man who was sent to be, you know, the under shepherd of Christ, the shepherd to them. They helped him become healthier. And so that was where the relationship of the mission of the church and the worker and helping the worker be healthy, you could see how the ministry there could then flourish because he was healthier. He wasn't, you know, on a sick bed, literally. And then after Paul moved on in his missionary journeys and he's writing this epistle back to the Galatians, he is really almost distraught. He's very upset because there is conflict in that congregation. then when he's writing the epistle. And so their conflict or lack of health, and by, I guess I should pause for a moment and describe how, you know, the marks of a healthy congregation is the word rightly preached and the sacraments rightly administered. So that's really the underlying, you know, the baseline of what makes for a healthy congregation. But there are things that interrupt that, right? Like, you know, what was happening in Galatia, that this conflict that was happening. And I commend that the listeners read the book of Galatians, and they can see more than I'm able to unpack here. But so they were, you know, not a healthy congregation. They have conflict that's like ripping them apart. And Paul is feeling it himself. As someone who had shepherded them, he is distraught by that, and it's causing ill health for him. So that's what we now describe as like a symbiotic, you know, the health of the congregation impacts the health of the worker and vice versa. And so that's why it's important in the mission of Christ Church that we attend to the health and the well-being of the people of God and the church workers. Now, Steph, you have studied theology a lot. I'm sure you can add some more color to that and how you think about worker wellness in light of the mission of Christ Church.
Yeah. Well, you know, so I think this in some way has overlap with our LCMS health ministry. And we make a pretty good point to point out that health doesn't just mean the absence of illness or absence of sickness, but health is actually the pursuit of wellness. And we'll get in a little bit more about what we mean by well, what is wellness? We'll get to talk about the wellness bill here just in a minute. This holistic approach to the person, and fundamentally, theologically, we believe that we are created in body and spirit, that we are embodied spirits. And if anyone wants to learn more about that, we just read The Theology of the Body by Dr. John Kleinig, or we do some more research into what Christ has to say about our bodies and why they matter. But specifically, they matter because, well, we look at the three articles of the Creed, which is God the Father created our bodies in body, mind, and spirit, that Christ the Son redeems our bodies, body, mind, and spirit, and that the Holy Spirit sanctifies us in baptism. And we also believe, teach, and confess that we will be raised on the last day bodily. And so specifically when we talk about health in this way, we believe that our bodies are going to be forever. They will be raised and renewed. And so we care about the physical as well as the emotional, the spiritual, the mental. It's all tied together because this is how God created us, is to live in harmony with our own selves, our own creation, and the bodies around us, our neighbors. And so worker wellness specifically, I think, has two different components to it. Like you mentioned, there's a symbiotic relationship. So two different things. We want to help our workers be well so that they can serve well. So we have this initiative to be well, to serve well. But then we also want our churches to support and encourage their church workers. We want to enable them to help their church workers to serve well. And so that is kind of what encompasses the work of LCMS worker wellness, is listening to feedback and seeing where we can step in to encourage districts and congregations to do just that.
Yeah, and I'm so glad that you brought up the concept of holistic wellness and described how when we say wellness, we're not just talking about our bodies, the physicality of being healthy or sick. Is it so much more than that? And you referenced the wellness wheel, which has been around for a while. And there's actually not just one. I mean, we have one that we feel like is, you know, for the LCMS, a really good, faithful, grounded in scripture, graphical representation. But you can go into any clinic, health clinic around the United States and probably see some type of a chart or a graphic that represents wellness, or maybe you get a mailer from a local hospital or something. And they may have a round shape or maybe a different shape. And they may have pieces of trying to describe holistic wellness, but it's not going to be the same because ours is grounded in scripture. And we recognize that the various facets of our well-being are interdynamic. They impact one another. That's probably the better way of saying it. You can't necessarily chase down if it's just one or the other. And I'll give you a few examples to help demonstrate what I'm trying to say, maybe in a little bit of a clumsy sort of way. But if you're feeling depressed, it can be related to both your body physically, what's chemically happening, and it can also be related to your emotions. So we can't always differentiate what might be where the source is or what aspect of our body and soul that's impacted by a certain condition. So that's one example. They're interdependent upon one another in other ways. And I'm going to use the physical sense again as an example. If it's just a cold, maybe somebody's not feeling well and they're coughing and their head hurts and they realize they're contagious and they say, it's not good for me to go to church right now because I won't feel well. I will spread whatever this is to a lot of people. So they stay home and they end up staying at home for several weeks of church. Well, they're not receiving the sacrament and their spiritual well-being can start to suffer. They're not also in fellowship with the saints. So relationally, they can start to feel very isolated. So our physical well-being could impact our spiritual well-being and our relational well-being. And so all of this is, these concepts are conveyed in this graphic called the LCMS Wellness Wheel. It's a circle. And in the middle of it, and this is where it's so faithful to scripture, the very core of our being, everything that we are, is located in Christ, in our baptism, when we're made a new creation in Christ. So that's the center and the core of this LCMS Wellness Wheel. And we'll put a link in the show notes so that people can actually see it. But then these other facets of well-being are around that core on the wheel. And the colors are kind of blurred together, so you get that sense of there's not clear distinction, and it's not always necessarily easy to tell where something originates from. And there's, you know, six references around that core: intellectual well-being, relational well-being, emotional, physical, vocational, meaning those roles that our Lord has given to us and how we serve other people, and then financial. And so those six words, you know, on the graphic, kind of giving a sense of moving around this core of our being a new creation in Christ. Then our spiritual well-being is encompassed by all of it. Spiritual well-being is not on this graphic, as it is on some I've seen, like a Trivial Pursuit piece of the pie that's like a separate section, and you know, you can be physically well, but not spiritually well, or spiritually well, but not physically well. That's how some people have chosen to demonstrate that. No, our spiritual well-being encompasses all of us, the whole person. And so that is represented by a line, a gray kind of shaded line going all the way around the wheel. I often say, I think it would be better if it could be three-dimensional when we think about like a top, right? Like spinning top, a children's toy, where you know, pump it up and off it goes, and it's spinning around until it falls over. And I think that that's an apt analogy for our health and our well-being. Like something's out of balance, we're going to fall over, sometimes literally, sometimes figuratively. But that the core of our being a new creation in Christ, is really what keeps us aright. It's God who, in the gospel, gives us strength and enables us for life in this world. And so for us to steward our well-being and to make sure with what we can do, we can keep the top spinning so that we make good decisions and choices, and we have people to help us and support us in those decisions and choices as far as we're able for those aspects of our well-being, financial and intellectual and emotional and relational, physical and vocational. So I don't know, maybe that was a little complex, me trying to describe something that's you know, meant to be a visual on a podcast, but that's how I think of the LCMS Wellness Wheel.
Do you think, Tiffany, that sometimes there's also a tendency, especially for those perfectionist church workers, to think that they can have that top constantly spinning in balance, and thus the very thought of that makes someone unwell? Just the pressure to have it all in balance. I could just see a temptation for folks like me, who maybe are type A and a little bit try to be overachievers, fall into a trap of thinking, well, on my own, I can just keep this thing spinning. And that will lead actually to poor outcome as well. Have you seen that play out?
I have.
And I guess at the heart of it, it's like to reassure people that we're never going to get it perfect. So people listening, we're never going to get it perfect, but it's our goal to strive for wellness and health, because that's who Christ ultimately predestined us for.
Yeah, and, you know, and where I see that the most, Steph, I think you're right. And I think it's when we start to take this responsibility and burden onto like all of the things that we can do. We are constantly trying to grow in so many ways, but in health and well-being as well. And it's we can't control everything. And if we think we can, we've missed a whole lot in scripture about life on this earth. And so our Lord is a great burden bearer with us. And so we do need to have our burdens shared by him, by the fellowship of the saints. In the book of Galatians 2, we talk about burden bearing and that being the love that we have for one another. That's in Galatians 6, 2. And so that's where I think it can happen if people start to think that they can do everything and be everything, and they forget really how the gospel strengthens and encourages them, and recognize that it's that we're not, we are finite people. Our Lord is not finite, but we are.
Yeah. Well, and that's why I think the wellness wheel is beautiful, in that it grounds us, actually gravitates us towards the center, which is not ourselves, but it's our baptismal identity, which is Christ, the living one who holds all things together. And I think that a great way for people to also consider how this wellness wheel can be employed is at the beginning of the day to make the sign of the cross and to remember your baptism. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day to make the sign of the cross and remember your baptism. And to start each day new and fresh, knowing that sins are forgiven and that Christ gives strength for all things in all places in all times.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to be talking to a lot of people about this and more throughout this podcast series. So this season, what do we have lined up, Steph? You've been talking to some people. We're joined together on some of these episodes. We've got some great guests, I think.
We really do. We're recording this at a really ideal time, because this will be released in conjunction with what our initiative is to be appreciating and caring for our workers together as a synod. And so we've got some really great voices to speak into that. For one, we have two different district presidents who are joining us this season. One is President Meader, and the other is President Finnern. But also we have some really caring folks from different aspects of our synod, which are Jonathan Maynor, your husband, also coming in to weigh in on how we can appreciate and encourage our church workers. We have Dave Kuschel from Concordia Plan Services coming on. We have an interview with Dr. Yonke from Doxology and Reverend Dr. Greg Walton from Grace Place Wellness. And we also have Jim Henkel, who is not a DP, but he is a district executive for the Pacific Southwest District. As we've been interviewing, now most of them you've been able to attend with, but as I've gotten the chance to talk with others as well, what I can sense from them, both while we're hitting the record button, before and after, is their peaceful presence, for one, and their pastoral care and concern. And by pastoral, what I really mean is a shepherding kind of care for the people they're charged to care for. And I think we have great voices weighing in on this conversation who actually have such a heart and such a passion for caring for our church workers.
Well, I'm so glad to be hosting this podcast season with you, Steph.
Thanks for joining us. If you liked what you heard, please leave us a review and don't forget to click the follow or subscribe button so that you don't miss out on upcoming episodes. God's Mission Here is a podcast that discusses Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation, and how he delivers those gifts where you live and serve.